This message, Signs and Wonders, Make It a Lifestyle, by Julian Adams, was recorded at Mobilize, part of the New Frontiers Together in a Mission Conference 2009 in Brighton.
I hope you're all well and happy. Well, that was none of you. You had a good time so far? Good stuff. Well, I think you're in the right place at the right time. How many of you come really expecting to meet with God today? Good, good, good. I really believe in God to meet with us in a very radical way today. I'm going to share some stories and going to give you some keys as to how to move in the supernatural. But before we do that, I want us to start off by loving Jesus, because that's the best way to get into the supernatural. I'm taking my watch off intentionally because I'm not going to worry about time. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And today's going to be very practical. We're going to get you praying for the sick today, and you're going to see some miracles happen. Well, that was one of you. You're going to see some miracles happen today. Good. I often tell people at meetings like this, your expectation is God's invitation. You get as much as you'll press in for today. If you ask him for big things, you'll get big things. If you ask him for just enough, well, that's what you'll get. I'm so grateful that God is an extravagant God. Hey, ladies, there's some seats on this side over here if you want. I'm so grateful that God is an extravagant God, and he wants to pour out his spirit today in an extravagant way. And so I'm not looking for any kind of half-hearted encounter today. This is not just a seminar to fill some time. We're going to go after some supernatural encounters. We're going to go after some miracles today. And we're going to trust God that his name would be made big, that he'd be glorified, and that we'd hear story after story of God breaking in to people's lives. So if you could be upstanding, won't you begin to lift your voices to God? Won't you tell him how great he is? I want to hear you make some noise. Just begin to worship him. Begin to exalt him. He's wonderful. We love you, Lord Jesus. You're magnificent. You're wonderful. You're glorious. You're outstanding. There's no one like you. No one matches your beauty. No one compares to you, oh God. We adore you, Lord Jesus. We adore you, Lord Jesus. Come on, just a little bit longer. Let's lift him up. Let's lift him up in this place. Let's lift him up. Come on, let's lift him up. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. No one like you, Lord. There's no one like you. Lord Jesus. Oh, woo! We find you utterly irresistible, Lord. We thank you that your love is not some weak, namby-pamby, just weak thing. It is so powerful. We thank you that your love is so powerful that it drove you to the cross, Lord Jesus. We thank you that your love is not in any way insufficient, but it is so sufficient that it raised you from the dead. Oh. Hey, just go ahead and drink. Just go ahead and have a drink in God. The Bible says in the Song of Songs that his love is better than wine. It's supposed to be utterly intoxicating. Before we can do anything, before we can do the miracles, before we can step out in prophecy, it's all about his love. Go ahead. God, like a mighty wave, begin to break out right now. Break out all over this place. Oh, cause your spirit to rest upon people. What I want you to do is put your hand upon the person's shoulder next door to you. And we're just going to break some things open. I want you to go ahead and bless them. Think of the best prayer you can pray for them. Pray for the supernatural power of God to break in on their lives. Some of you are going to come to God right now in power. Break it out, Lord. Break it out right now. Woo! Lord Jesus, pour yourself out in your resurrected glory. Pour yourself out upon your people right now, in Jesus' name. Release your very fire in this house today, Lord. We want young men and women to leave this place set on fire with you to bring about radical transformation in every aspect of their lives, in Jesus' name. We ask you for this, for your glory, for your name's sake. And everybody shout it aloud. Amen. Go ahead, grab your seats. Well, I think there's some faith in the house today. Ooh. Ooh. I'm not. If you're receiving, carry on receiving. I really don't mind. I'm one of the guys who really like messy church, so it's okay. You're allowed to drink. This is a safe place, and it's all free. Hey, do you know God is doing a phenomenal thing? We're living in a season of extraordinary power. I grew up in Charismania. I grew up going to churches where God did some wild stuff. I remember people getting out of wheelchairs. I remember blind eyes opening. I remember seeing deaf ears open. I remember seeing withered hands break open as the power of God would move. I grew up in an atmosphere of miracles. I grew up in a context of Holy Spirit breaking out. And for a long season, it seemed like that began to die down. But I've got good news for you. We're in a season where God is actively, graciously, and very kindly pouring out his Spirit and demonstrating himself in incredible power again. Hallelujah. In a way, it's just, yeah, give him some praise. It's cool. And it's just so easy. It's just so easy. It's not difficult. You're gonna see today, by the end of this meeting, you're going to see how easy it is for you to flow in the miraculous. It's never meant to be based on one man doing the stuff or one woman doing the stuff. It's meant to be the people of God demonstrating his presence to a lost and a dying world. Before I get into the seminar, I just want to advertise some books. I promise I don't get a pay cut out of this. But I want to advertise a few books which have helped me grow in the supernatural. Then I'm going to ask a friend, Simon Holly, to come and share some stories that they've been experiencing as a community in Bedford. We'll go from there. The first book I want to advertise is by a woman called Catherine Kuhlman. Now, this woman is just phenomenal. And there are not many men that I know who flowed in the kind of power that this woman has. I want to encourage you, this book, I believe, God Can Do It Again, There's another book called I Believe in Miracles as well. It's just story after story that will make you, in a very godly way, jealous for the power of God. It will make you so hungry. I've got this book in my house, and every day nearly I will dip into it and read the same story and come away feeling blessed again and again and again. I think I must have read this book about 4 or 5 times over the last 2 years, just because I love the stories. It's full of good stories. So that's a really good book to get. This book, The Hungry Always Gets Fed, by Heidi Baker, is phenomenal. She is a woman who is doing some amazing things in Mozambique. They have seen over, since 1994, over 8,000 churches planted. Yeah, I just thought they'll throw that in. They've seen over 100 people raised from the dead. They've seen HIV get healed. They've seen cancers get healed. She now moves in such a degree of incredible power. She'll go into a village where it's people who have not heard the gospel. She said, bring all of your deaf people, and all the deaf people get healed. She preaches the gospel, and then the whole village gets saved. The way to do it. Highly recommended. This book and Compelled by Love are really great books filled with stories and the reason behind her successful ministry, if I could call it that. One of the things she says is, all you need to do is learn to stop for the one that's in front of you. She's just a powerful woman. When they prayed for me, and Roland prayed for me, God met with me in possibly one of the most radical ways I've ever been met. It's just, they're just full of the love of God. Classic book is When Heaven Invades Earth. If you want a blueprint for how to move in the miraculous, how to do signs and wonders, this book by Bill Johnson will change your life. I just had the privilege of being at his church with Simon in May, and I saw some of the most phenomenal things I think I've ever seen. I was in a bookshop, and this woman comes up to me and touches me, and I got flung out under the power of God. I wasn't even looking for a prophecy or looking for anything. I was just looking at some books. And God just touched me in a very powerful way. Their whole community as a church moving in signs and wonders. Wherever you go in kind of Reading, people know about this church because of the miracles that God's doing. And not only that, because of the gospel that's being preached and the demonstration that follows. Great book to get. And then 2 very classic books, both by the same author, Jack Deere, Surprised by the Voice of God and Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. It's really good. I'm not Mr. Intellectual, so I like easy theology. This book is easy theology that helps you understand why the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today, why we need the power of God, and why I'm living, and Jack Deere is living, for a worldwide revival. Simon, you agree with that, don't you? We're going to see a worldwide revival. Yes. I don't know about you. That's what I'm living for. If not, the Lord can take me home, rather. No, really, I don't want to live for anything less than seeing the church gloriously displaying the raw power of God wherever she goes. What's the point otherwise? These 2 books will help you understand theologically how that happens, and will help you understand how to flow in hearing God's voice and moving in the power of the Spirit. And then last book, Growing in the Prophetic. This is a revised and updated book. This book is possibly one of the most influential books in my life in understanding how to move in the prophetic, how to use it in a local church context, and how to see signs and wonders as a part of your life. Really great book, very pastoral, so it will help you understand when your pastor says, you can't bring that word today. This will help you understand what to do in those kinds of moments, all right? It's a very, very good book and will help you, especially if you're aspiring to be a leader, how to lead prophetic people and how to minister in the prophetic. Growing the Prophetic by Mike Bickle. These are all books that are at the bookshop. Please can I encourage you to get them. I'm getting completely muddled up here. Ooh. There we go. Right, I'm going to ask my friend Simon Holly, who is the lead elder at a church called King's Arms. We've got a whole bunch of King's Arms guys. If anyone just scan quickly, just the King's Arms guys, why don't you just scan? These guys, I just want to honor them publicly. Just give them a hand. They're seeing God do some, you can be seated, thanks. They're seeing God do some amazing things on the streets of Bedford. I think it's over 100 people healed on the streets of Bedford. Not only that, their church is pressing in to seeing radical signs and wonders, the gospel being proclaimed, and really bringing something of the kingdom of God to Bedford. And I just had the privilege of doing a conference with them called Heaven Touches Earth. I'll tell you some of the stories a bit later. Just phenomenal stuff. And Simon Holly leads this church, and he's really pressing in and pressing out, really, the very power of God. And I'm really excited to know him as a good friend. And I'm going to ask him to come share some of his stories. Why don't you give him a hand as he comes and shares?
Just to put it in context, 3 years ago, we'd seen hardly anyone healed on a Sunday, let alone out on the streets. And so God just brought us on a very radical journey. We're just ordinary people serving an extraordinary God for whom nothing is impossible. I think that's what we've been discovering. Nothing is impossible for him. And we've always read it, and we're starting to see it. So just a few couple of quick stories we've seen, I think, over, including we went out with some of you guys yesterday. We saw 6 people healed on the streets yesterday, 3 others who we couldn't tell whether they couldn't tell whether they were healed or not. So I think our total on people healed on the streets now is 112, including those 6. It's just phenomenal what God's doing through very ordinary people. Some of the stuff that has just blown our minds of what God can do and is doing. We had a guy who is part of our, we run like a night shelter in a foreign hostel, and he came, he wasn't living in the hostel, but he came and he had bitten off the end of his tongue because he was in a hit and run accident. His face was all smashed up and his tongue had been bitten off. And he'd been to the consultant, and the consultant said, it's a muscle, it won't ever grow back. So you just got to learn to live with it. Had a really bad speech impediment. And so the team prayed for him. One of the girls there on the team just felt the Lord say, pray for this tongue to grow back. And she thought, it's impossible, but okay, God, I'll pray. So they prayed for his tongue to go back. 2 weeks later, they didn't see him for 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, he comes back, and as he walks through the door, he sticks out his tongue like this. And apart from a small nick, his tongue has completely been reformed by God. It's like, come on, Jesus! And so our project, which we've run for many years, has just seen radical stuff. There was a girl recently who they had didn't have enough food in the evening. She prepared the potatoes, but only had half a pot. And so she put the lid on the pot and said, left a note for the team saying, you need to buy some more potatoes. Before you go, check the pot because I've prayed. And so the next team came on shift, lifted the lid on the pot, and the pot is like 3/4 full of potatoes. God just broke on. And I just love the extravagance of God. They could have gone to Sainsbury's, but he just wanted to demonstrate something something of who he is. And we've just seen time and time again God breaking in with just radical stuff now. And I've seen people come, people in our church come from a place of really unbelief in terms of this stuff to grow to great boldness. So a story I told yesterday, I'll tell you again. We had a lady recently, 3 weeks ago, she was on a cruise ship, and she was she wanted to bless the unbeliever who'd taken on this cruise ship who had paid for the trip, and she's going, God, I want to bless her somehow. And so she, as she's there on the ship, he notices her friend is in pain and said, what's happening? She says, oh, I've got chronic back pain because one leg is 2 inches shorter than the other. And so this lady, Ingrid, who's in her 60s, said to her, look, we've seen loads of legs here grow, and we've seen 8 or 10, I think, grow so far. So she said, if I pray for you, God's going to do something. And this friend, who's an unbeliever, just laughed at her, mocking, you know, just, that's ridiculous, you know. And then she realized she was serious, and she's like, okay, well, I guess. And she says, Ingrid says, well, I'll pray for you. I can either pray now or later, you know, which do you choose? And so she said, I guess you might as well pray now. So in front of a whole bunch of mocking unbelievers, she gets her to put a leg on the chair, and everyone can see 2 inches shorter, and she prays, in Jesus' name, leg grow right now. And the person who was being prayed for just laughs in a mocking way, said, look, see, nothing's happening. And Ingrid said, just something came on, and she said, stop. God is working. And as she said that, the leg whoosh, just shot out in front of everybody's eyes and grew right in front of their eyes. And so, thank you, Lord. Just want to encourage you that God can use even us. We've been fearful and unbelieving, and in just 3 years, we're now seeing miracles in places where there's mocking, cynicism, cynical unbelievers. God's breaking in and setting people free. Come on.
Great. Thanks, Simon. Let's give God some glory. Won't you go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. I'll just tell you a few stories and then I'll read some scripture and hopefully we'll get somewhere. Like I said, I've just had the joy of being at Simon's Church doing a thing called Heaven Touches Earth. It was just absolutely radical. One of the things that we went for were some dental miracles. We believe in God to do some dental miracles. How many of you have ever heard of dental miracles? In our local church back home in Musenberg, we've seen, I think it was 8 people have supernatural gold fillings come into their mouth. In fact, my lead elder back home, Jeff Kidwell, went onto the radio to talk about it because it became quite a kind of big thing in our local church and in the local area. And so over Cape Talk Radio, which goes all the way through Cape Town, he was talking about it. And people began phoning in saying, we need this number of this pastor because something weird has just happened to me. As people were listening to it, there were, I think, 3 people who supernaturally got their mouth filled with gold, their teeth cavities filled with gold. And the result was some people actually got saved after that interview. How cool is that? And so I thought, well, let's go for some dental miracles. And we did. One of the guys that were there had, I'm going to try and remember, she had a tooth that was kind of out of place, I think, and God moved it back into place and straightened his teeth out. I think that's pretty cool. One of the other things that happened, which is just, this is really cool, is how many of you know that the Bible indicates and tells us that there is power in that which we speak? Yeah. All right? Am I in the wrong way? I don't know how to do this anyway. I'll stand right over here. Let's move this mic off. Yeah, thanks. And so I went for teaching how that throughout Scripture you'll see, thanks guys, throughout Scripture you'll see that Jesus often says the kingdom of God is here and the result is a demonstration of power. If you read the Gospels, you'll see that. How many of you remember the story of the centurion who came to Jesus and said, say the word and my servant will be healed? There is power in the word that is spoken from God. And I love that story because the servant did nothing to get healed. He was just sick on a bed somewhere else. And Jesus says the word and at that moment, he's healed. So I figured if it's in the Bible, we can have it. And so we declared some healing over people, and one man testified he had a few prolapsed discs and dehydrated discs, which left his leg with numbness. His wife was at the meeting declaring healing over him, and that night God healed him. One of the other stories that we saw lots of back problems getting healed. It kind of seems like a big fit. There's like a back pain-free zone. People go to that church, they get healed of back problems, it seems like. And there was a lady there who got healed again of prolapsed discs, been walking with a walking stick for, I think it was 3 years, is that right? 3 years walking with a walking stick. We prayed with her. The Sunday after we got back from Bethel, instantaneously, God healed her. It's just really, really cool. I was in South Africa recently, just telling these stories because I want the faith levels to get really thick in here. See, when you tell the story of God's goodness, it's an opportunity for God to do it again. And I was in South Africa in Durban, at a church in Durban, and there was a lady that was there who had irreparable damage done in her womb area through some surgery and things like that. Basically, she was unable to fall pregnant. It was impossible. And we prayed for her. She went back for scans. God gave her a brand new womb. Recreative miracle. I then got an email to say that she's happily pregnant. How cool is that? Yeah, God is on the move and he's wanting to do some radical things with us. And I don't believe it's just for one of us. I believe it is for all of us. One of the stories that happened recently was a guy who'd had severe heart problems. He'd been to hospital a number of times that year, had defibrillators, whatever it is. Basically, he could hardly even pick up a chair and his heart would kind of give way. During the worship time, just during a time of loving Jesus, The presence of God came on him sovereignly. He bolted out the room and ran around the church building, completely healed of his heart condition. We serve a God of miracles. We serve a God of miracles. And your God is a God of miracles. And you are a holy dispenser of miracles. Some of you are going, who, me? You are a holy dispenser of miracles. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. We're going to look at some scripture. I'm going to share just how we can come into a place of more miracles and breakthrough. O foolish Galatians, verse 1, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, that you are now being perfected by the flesh? Did you receive the Spirit? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works? What's the word there? Miracles. Do you want to say it quite loud?
Miracles.
Did you receive the Spirit and who works miracles among you? Did you do this by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. You just need to look at the gospels and you'll realize that hanging out with Jesus was possibly one of the most exciting things you could do. Jesus is just such a radical revolutionary. There was nothing tame about him. I've just, being on a trip to Bethel, where God really met with me powerfully, and I felt God speak to me saying, your pursuit of balance has cost you your passion for me. And I realized I'd lost the ability to be fascinated with God. And you know, it's so easy as a Christian to know a whole lot about God, but not really know him. And God began to speak to me about really passionately desiring him and being fascinated by him. He is lovely. He is breathtakingly beautiful. I love Jesus because he is the very image of the Father, isn't he? And he gets to hang out with a group of 12 guys and anything can happen, and it probably will on Jesus' watch. I mean, it is just crazy. Every funeral that Jesus goes to becomes a non-event, even his own. I mean, I love that about Jesus. Imagine stopping a hearse on its way to the burial ground, saying, just hold him, pull out the coffin, let's lift it open, son, come alive, bam, he sits up and he's alive. I don't know about you, I'm up for that. I want to see more resurrections from the dead. And I love this about Jesus. You hang out with him, you look at Mark chapter 1 and early books of 2, there's like things happen, demons are being cast out, dead is being raised, lepers are being healed. It is just a radical outbreak of miracles. And then Jesus says to his disciples, you get to do the same and more.
Hallelujah.
Some people are agreeing with me over there. I'm really happy about that. You get to do all of the stuff that Jesus did and more. So I recently read a commentary on John 14, and it just got me so cross. I was really upset. This commentary said, you know, it says, greater things will you do. The commentary said, this is not talking about better miracles. It's just simply talking about the ability of the Holy Spirit to reach more people. I'm like, that's wrong. The disciples went on. How many of you ever saw Jesus' shadow heal anyone? What happens when the disciples are hanging out? Their shadow starts healing people. Did Jesus ever give someone a handkerchief and say, don't worry, your friend will get healed?
No.
Disciples, you know, they're praying over handkerchiefs and people were getting healed. I mean, this is greater things will you do. We are going to see a breakthrough in HIV. We are going to see a breakthrough in cancer. We are going to see a breakthrough in terminal illnesses. We are going to see a breakthrough in people receiving their hearing back. We are going to see a breakthrough in the blind seeing. If it's not going to happen, Lord Jesus, take me home. Because if it's in the Bible, I get to have it, the Bible says. If Jesus did it, I get to do it. That's what John 14 says. And we see all these radical things that Jesus does. And many people often come to me and say to me, Julian, so now you've seen all these miracles, which, thank God, I just love it. It makes Christianity very exciting. I don't understand how people can tell me church is boring. There is nothing boring about seeing a woman who's been using a walking stick for 3 years give the walking stick to me and say, it's all okay, my back is completely healed. And she gets to hang out completely healed. Back pain is gone because of God's glory. I mean, there's nothing boring about seeing a woman who couldn't fall pregnant. All of a sudden, the power of God breaks on her, and she falls pregnant. I mean, this is awesome stuff. Amen. So when people tell me church is boring, I don't know if they're serving the right Jesus, because he's not boring in any way. And people say to me, Julian, how do we see miracles? How do we have faith for breakthrough? And I often know some people who it's quite funny. I know some of those kinds of intense people. I find that there are two groups of people when it comes to faith and receiving faith for miracles. Because today, the whole point is to release something of God's glory on you so that you see this wherever you go. That's the whole point, okay? I'm not wanting to just come and give you a nice sermon and get some goosebumps because the air conditioning is too cold. I'm wanting to for you to encounter God. And so there are two camps I often find in the church. There's the kind of sovereignty camp. And they're the kind of guys who go, if it be God's will, he'll heal me. I'm like, it's in the Bible. He wants to heal you. So you go respond. Okay, and there's a kind of, we'll just be passive and we'll hope that via osmosis something will happen. Then you get the other camp. And these guys, I love them because I used to be one of them. They kind of, in worship, you know what's going to happen. They kind of assume the position. Like this. And you just think they're about to take off any moment. And they start getting really intense, and they start praying really hard. And the next minute, it's like out of nowhere, this vein starts appearing on their forehead. And it starts pulsating according to the beat of their heart. And you think, if this guy doesn't stop, he's going to explode. And he's believing God so really hard. You think, Lord Jesus, please don't let himself combust. And we have these kinds of camps. And people say, I need more faith to believe God for miracles. I can't pray for the sick because, well, I don't know if I've got enough faith. Well, today I want to teach you how you can come into a place of ever-increasing faith. Because God wants to bring us as a people to live and move and have our being in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He wants us to be a people who see actively and readily his power available wherever we go, be it in the workplace, be it on the streets, be it in a meeting on a Sunday morning. We're expecting the invasion of his kingdom. That's what we're after. And Galatians, I love the story of Galatians because I think that in this context, I see a lot of myself. These Galatians have been living, have been saved in an incredible way by the grace of God. And all of a sudden, they started mixing law and their own ability to maintain this grace, their own ability to work hard at it. And Paul calls it witchcraft. He says, who has bewitched you when you try and mix this wonderful, pure grace of God with law? What happens is you come under a curse of witchcraft. You live in deception because you think it's your effort that is maintaining your salvation rather than the kindness of a good God. And so Paul's addressing these issues. Now, I love what Paul does. There's some things that always shock me. And we can sometimes skim read this because we've heard a whole lot of sermons on this that we miss the actual point of this. Paul presumes that there's going to be an activity of the Holy Spirit in the church. How did you receive the Spirit? By the hearing of faith. He is expecting that Holy Spirit activity is happening right at the root of the Galatian church. He's expecting that there should be gifts of the Holy Spirit on display. He's expecting that miracles should happen. He says, who worked miracles among you? How did this happen in the local church? Notice he didn't say, is there one man who does miracles? He says, among you there should be miracles happening. Miracles is not something for one man. It's not just a Benny Hinn who comes in and does it. It's not just a Rambo Boo who comes in and does it. It's not any of these great men of God. It's about the church community experiencing an outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that miracles happen wherever they go. Notice who works these miracles among you. Miracles are not an optional extra. Thank you. Miracles are not an optional extra. You see, Paul says, I fully proclaim the gospel in word and with many signs and wonders. Romans 15. He doesn't say, oh, you get to just, you know, have a sprinkling of miracles. I mean, Paul, I mean, this is radical. He's preaching so long that someone falls out a window and dies and he raises him from the dead. It's an ordinary day in the life of the church. Now, for me, the thing about the book of Acts is, and some people would say to me, oh, we need to get back to the book of Acts church. Dude, I don't want to go back to baby church. That was a church in its infancy. I'm wanting mature church, full of the glory and ever-increasing power of God demonstrated to the lost world. And so if the book of Acts was baby church, imagine what mature church is going to look like. Imagine the kinds of miracles that we could be seeing. I mean, help me, Jesus. Paul expected English church in Galatia that there would be incredible outworking of the Spirit and of miracles. Our expectation should be nothing less. I'm not happy with just a nice meeting where people go away tickled but never having encountered a resurrected Lord by the Spirit. That is the gospel is power. The gospel is power. Paul says, how did you receive this? He says, it all comes by the hearing of faith. It comes by the hearing of faith. How do we get more faith? Well, I wanted to give you some characteristics of faith before we get in there. Faith, the Bible says, is like a mustard seed. And that mustard seed, the Bible says, can move some mountains. How many of you have ever seen little faith move big mountains? I haven't. It's not talking about the size of your faith. It's talking about a seed that gets dropped into the heart of a man, and that faith begins to grow. The Bible says the mustard seed becomes a big tree in the forest. And it's talking about having the ability to come into ever-increasing faith, ever-growing faith. It's not simply saying, oh, I just need a little bit of faith. And so some people think, if I can just have a little bit of faith. No, it's about faith that is growing in your heart. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Here's the deal about faith. Faith says, do you know that thing I'm hoping for? That thing I really hope will happen? Faith says, that hope I'm taking and I'm going to realize it in my life right now and believe as though it has already happened. In South Africa, when we talk about buying a home, you can go into an office, really snazzy office, because now things are really, trendy and cool. You get to check out your home on the internet. You get to have a virtual tour of the home. You can tell them what features you want in the home, whether you want a particular finish or not. And you can go in. If they're building this new complex, you can go in, choose exactly the colors and everything, and you can get to do a virtual tour. I think it's pretty cool. At the end of that, they'll go, do you want one? And you'll go, yes, I'll buy it. And you sign on the dotted line on a thing called a title deed. And that title deed, they then give you. And even though you've never, ever seen the house physically, you've got proof that you have the house because you have a title deed, you've paid for it. It is the same with faith. Even though you've not seen something physically, because faith rests only in the unseen. Faith doesn't rest in the possibility, in the possible. It rests in the impossible. Right? There's nothing safe about faith. And so my title deed is faith, saying my faith is proof that that which is not seen with the physical eye, but is in the unseen realm, is mine. And that's how we're called to live our life. We're called to live a life resting in the place of faith, believing God that the unseen reality of His kingdom will break in on my life, on my family, on my community, on my city, and eventually throughout the nations. You see, when we understand that faith is not something that is just, you know, kind of, am I in a good mood today? Let's believe God. No, faith is being certain that His kingdom is invading this earth. The Bible promises us that His kingdom will one day be a kingdom that will take over everything else.
Hallelujah.
I thought that was a good point. The Bible says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot be a Christian without faith. People often say to me, I'm really struggling with my faith. I want to say to you, are you struggling with your salvation? They go, no. You can't struggle with your faith then. Because you believe that God is. Most people don't have faith because they don't know God's character. And therefore they don't know if He really wants to heal them. If He really wants to use them in the miraculous. Friend, I want to encourage you today, without faith, it is impossible to please God. A little bit later, it says that faith comes by revelation. God reveals His faith. He gives us His faith. Now, how do we receive this faith? Well, Paul says by hearing. What you hear, you mix with belief. And once you've mixed it, that's the evidence of faith. For many of us, we're listening to some stuff that actually is not very helpful. I make it a habit to make sure that I hear good news every day. I make it a habit to make sure that I hear a story of God breaking in and healing someone every day, because what it does is it mixes with my heart and faith begins to rise. For most of us, and particularly in the nation of England, we're predisposed to negativity and listening to bad news. Let's just break that off of us. We want to be a people who hear the good things. Catherine Kuhlman used to say, only believe. Only believe. Is God the God of the impossible?
Yes. Yes.
Only believe. So He says, it's what you hear that you mix your heart with and faith is released. Now I want to say to you, what did these Galatians hear? What were they listening to? So He says, how did you receive this? Was it by works of the law? No. Or was it by the hearing of faith? Yes. How did you receive the one who gives the Spirit? Was it by works of the flesh? No. It was by faith. How did you receive the one who works miracles among you? Was it by law? No. It was by faith. What did you hear when you were listening to this message? What was it that caused faith to rise in your heart? Here's the deal. It was the cross of Jesus Christ crucified. It was the resurrection. It was the gospel that God's internal goodness and favor has now been poured upon you lavishly without you ever having to do a thing.
Hallelujah.
It was the same message that you heard when you got saved. That your sin was exchanged for His righteousness, and now by grace you have free access right into the very highest of heavens. You have free access to do all the things that He did. It is by grace that you have been brought into Christ, and now what is true of your older brother Jesus is true of you. There is never going to be a day, I want to just rush to this because we need to do some miracles. There's never been a day when God has been unhappy with His Son. There has never been a moment in history since He rose from the dead where the Father said, I'm not going to hear my Son. There's never been a moment where the Father has not stopped pouring out favor saying, look at my beloved one. Look at the one in whom I'm well pleased. There's never been a day where He said, I'm going to withhold something. No, I want to pour out all of my kingdom upon my Son. And because you are seated in Him in heavenly places, that is true of you.
Hallelujah.
You see, the starting point for doing miracles is not your ability to believe God. The starting point for doing miracles is the revelation that He is God. The starting point for miracles is not your ability to work really hard at trying to pray more, believe more, fast more. Trust me, I don't. It's got nothing to do with that. And it's got everything to do with this one thing, that you now have been adopted into the family of God. You've been grafted into the man of faith, Abraham's faith, and now you have the same blessing that is upon him. And the one who is resurrected and risen forever, that one has poured out his blessing upon you and pulled you into himself.
Hallelujah.
That is just amazing. People say to me, well, how do we get this? Well, here's the deal. Jesus had to do absolutely nothing to receive your sin. He did nothing to earn your sin. He did nothing to earn your punishment. And in the very same way, you can do nothing to receive his righteousness and his grace. It is the greatest exchange that has ever been made. We give him our sin. He gives us his right standing with the Father. And the age to come, this glorious kingdom, I love N.T. Wright, he talks about the age to come is eternal life. We get to press in to that age to come and pull heaven to earth.
Come on.
And it's all of grace.
Amen.
If you want more faith, you've got to enjoy more grace. You see, you can try and work really hard, and we're coming for a landing, at praying for the sick. And trust me, I've done this. I used to fast every Monday during my high school career. Every Monday I fasted and prayed. All it produced was a grumpy Julian. Am I against fasting? Because fasting, if it's understood from grace, really is feasting, to quote John Piper. But I realized something. That it's not my attempts at trying to move out in faith. It is simply resting in the place of a revelation of his grace that causes power then to flow. How did Abram get his blessing? He was just wandering around in the desert. He was a random man wandering around in a desert doing nothing. The King of heaven, the Creator of heaven, came to him and said, I like you. Do you want my blessing? He went, I'll take that, thanks. That's it. That is it. Faith. How many of you remember the story of the Canaanite woman? Now, the Canaanite people were not allowed to enter into the promise of Israel's blessing. They were not allowed to get the promise of Israel's blessing. In fact, Jesus is so strong with this Canaanite woman. He says to her, look, I've not come to you dogs, really. That's what he said, not me. Jesus said that to a woman, not me. She, you're a dog. I'm not here for that. She says an incredible thing. She says, yeah, but even the dogs get the crumbs off the table. And Jesus says, I've not seen faith like this in Israel. Here's the deal. This Canaanite woman had heard about this kind, gracious man called Jesus who went about doing good and healed all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. She heard something of this Jesus who seems to be bringing about a revolution and a stirring in Jerusalem. There's something about him that seems so attractively good and so kind that whatever I can get, I'm going to ask him for. It was out of the place of a revelation of who Jesus was that she thought, if he's that good, I can maybe get a crumb. Faith is not connected to what you do. It's connected to revelation of the grace and wonder of Jesus. If you want more faith, you've got to enjoy more grace. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And then we'll come in for a landing because I really am running out of time. Acts chapter 14 and verse 3. Just one little verse there. It says, so they remained there for a long time, speaking of Paul and Barnabas in Iconium after a time of persecution. I love it. It says, and they stayed there even though they're having persecution. For a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his
grace.
Say it louder.
Grace.
I'm a bit Pentecostal. Touch your neighbor and it's going to say grace. What happens when the word of grace is preached? Granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. If we really believe the gospel of grace, the net result is signs and wonders are a part of our lifestyle. I'm going to say that again because some of you didn't get that. If you really believe that you've been saved by grace, the radical next conclusion is that that grace empowers you to live a supernatural lifestyle of signs, wonders, and miracles wherever you go. Under the old covenant, people had to obey the law in order to get a blessing. In the new covenant, you just got to believe the promise that's been revealed. Yeah, just a couple of pointers very quickly, and then we can pray for the sick. Keys to unlocking ever-increasing faith always come from grace because of sonship. You're a son. Nothing's going to change that. Nothing can remove that. You're a son forever. And a son abides, John tells us, in the house forever. We get to have free access to all of the resources of heaven at any time.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Faith comes from the place of revelation of His grace. Grace is always cultivated in the place of worship. When I'm loving Him and He's revealing Himself to me, the response is I need to worship Him. The more I worship Him, the more He reveals Himself to me, the more I believe Him. Radical intimacy. Thirdly, faith is exercised in obedience. The only way you'll see miracles is actually by praying for the sick. People say, I want to pray for the sick. I say, when last did you pray for someone? No, I don't really do that. I'm a bit nervous. No, dear, you haven't seen any miracles. Of course you want. You've got to do something. Lastly, we've got to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. When we learn to glorify God for the least thing and for the greatest thing, it seems to me that God loves to pour out His Spirit even more. Remember the story of Jesus in Mark chapter 6 where He goes to His own hometown? And he's rejected because of unbelief. It says that he could only do a few miracles, but he couldn't do a great work. Like, I'm just thinking, they weren't even happy that there were few miracles in their town. Sometimes we can hear stories of people getting healed and become so blasé that we miss the opportunity to receive revelation of God's kindness and grace. He kindly and graciously, because of the cross of Jesus, has healed someone. We've got to learn to be. I don't care if it's a tummy ache. I don't care if it's a dog that's been raised from the dead. If it's Jesus doing something, I want to be grateful. Yeah. Just by the way, the gospel goes to all creation. I do know of one family who really needed their dog to be raised from the dead because they were quite distraught, and God did it. So I'll throw that in to mess with the religious mind a little bit. If you want more faith, if you want to learn how to move in the supernatural, guys, I don't have a little formula for you. If you want it, you've got to enjoy more grace. The Bible uses the word, was Christ not portrayed before you crucified in Galatians 3? That word portrayed means, it means to be like a big canvas that gets pulled out. Someone's just getting it. It's okay. It's like a big canvas that gets pulled out, and Christ in all of His glory is displayed as the crucified one so that you get to enjoy Him more and more. Give us some more, Lords. How many of you want to flow in miracles today? Yeah. We are going to do a time of impartation a bit later, but here's the deal. Okay, here's the deal. I'm not wanting to pray for people who aren't willing to actually say, God, I'm going to recklessly abandon myself to Your grace. I mean, it's a no-brainer for me, but for some people, they actually might need to think about this. Guys, God wants to do some amazing things. Let's be a people who are ready for that. Amen? God's going to heal some people right now. We're just going to go for one or two words of knowledge, and then I'm going to teach you how to pray for the sick, and then we're going to do some impartation. There's somebody right now, you're getting healed in your right knee. You've had some kind of complaint, problem in your right knee. I actually think you're probably in this section towards the back. just stand up. As you stand up, begin to move your knee. You'll see that something's just changing. Just begin to move your knee. Just begin to do what you can do. What's happening? What's wrong with your knee?
I've got a thing called
tenosynovitis. Right.
Big word.
Big God. Carry on.
This last Sunday just gone, someone had a word for me that on my knee would be healed. And they prayed for it, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't healed, but I knew that God would do something this week.
What's happening to your knee right now? How can you test it out?
Well, I was sitting there, I was just chatting with and the fact that my knee's actually got really hot at the moment.
That's God. Just lift up your hands, the power of God is just going to come upon you. Just lift up your hands right now, God's power is just going to come upon you. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. There it is. There's going to be a lightning bolt that's just going to hit you right now. Bam! There it goes through you. Fire right now in Jesus' name. There's somebody who's had like almost like a shoulder pain just in this left part of your neck. God's healing you. If actually just quickly stand, yeah, just stand quickly. Just begin to move and begin to see if anything's happening. God heal right now in Jesus' name. What's happening? Yeah. Can you begin to move and just see what's happening? How does it feel? Still tight? Okay, we're going to pray in a moment. What's happening to you at the back there, my leg? Yeah. Right. How's it feeling now? It's quite loose. I can't quite hear, but it's normally very tight, is it? And it's loose now?
Still feeling pain.
Still feeling pain. Right, put your hand just there. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we speak healing right now, in Jesus' name. Pain, go right now, in Jesus' name. Power of God's just going to come upon you right now. It's like thick honey just coming upon you. All that pain just lifts, all that tense, loose, just gets loosened right now. Those muscles just get healed right now, in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed, in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's love Jesus just one moment. He's doing something already. Father, we love you. You're wonderful, magnificent. Magnificent. Formula, this is just a cool way of doing it. Okay, there are four things you need to know when you're praying for the sick. One, God is in a really, 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 really good mood right now. In fact, there's not a day when he's not in a good mood. And more importantly, he's really, really, really in a good mood because he just loves you. What you need to know about the fact that God's in a really, really good mood is that part of his nature, part of his character, part of who he is Jehovah Rapha. He is a healer. It's not like he tries to heal. He is healing. It's not like he thinks, oh, should I heal? No, he is your healing. You get that? He is your healing. Okay, the second thing you need to know, because some of you are going to be praying for people, is that what's true of Jesus right now is true of you. There's never going to be a closed heaven over Jesus, will there? That means every single moment, 24/7, every single prayer you pray is always going to come in the place of an open heaven because Jesus has made a way open for you. Hallelujah. The third thing you need to know is that Jesus is graciously kind in that he said, the Father's given me all authority, now I send you to do the stuff. That means he backs your act. He's not going to leave you waiting on the limb going, well, let's see how long they can do this for. No, no, he's going to back your act. He's coming right in behind your prayer saying, yes, I've given you authority. Now, the thing about authority is this. He didn't. Have you ever seen Jesus ask sickness to go? He commands sickness to go. He says, be healed. He doesn't kind of do the nice British thing, dear lords. We ask you that the sickness, if it be in your will go. His response to sickness was always that it's not from God and that it's evil, always. And if Jesus is perfect theology, which I believe he is, that means my theology is pretty secure in the fact that he doesn't like sickness. Anyway, if Jesus wanted to teach you a lesson through your sickness, he would have told you not to go to the doctor for it. Anyway, so you've got complete confidence to pray for the sick. True?
Yes.
You go back, yeah. Thirdly, God loves faith. We've just talked about that. Now, he loves faith from the person receiving prayer. He loves faith from the person giving prayer. Do you all get healed? No, clearly not. Does God want to heal everyone? I absolutely believe that. Do I understand why some get healed and some don't? No, I don't. But what I do know is that he loves faith. So I'm going to stick within the parameters of Holy Scripture and please him by believing him, even though I can't see the direct result right now. However, we are going to see some direct results today. So what we're going to do in a moment is if you're sick in your body, now, I just want you to notice I've told loads of stories about people getting healed. If any one of those of you can take your healing, you can just say, I'll take that story, I'll take that. That healing, I'll take that. Okay, because the Bible says to worship God for the testimony of Jesus, telling about what Jesus does, is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy is the word that God speaks to create something again. So when we talk about the things that Jesus does and you go, I like that, I'll take that, it's an opportunity for him to do it again. All right? So we're going to pray for the sick. Now I'm going to ask those who are sick in a moment to stand. Okay, don't do it right now, but in a moment. And then Christians around this place are going to go lay hands on them. What I want you to do is just simply ask them what's wrong with you. Guys who are giving the report of what's wrong, don't give a long history because that will cause any faith to just leave the room. Okay? Remember, what you hear produces faith. What you encounter in Revelation produces faith. And so we want to hear the blessings of God. Okay? So tell them just in the one line, got a back problem. You don't even need to tell them all the details because I'm sure we'll get some testimonies in a moment. Then Christians are going to pray for the sick. And you're going to command sickness to go. And in the next 5 minutes, we're going to see miracles break out all over this place. So if you're sick in your body, I want you to stand quickly. If you're sick in your body, I want you to stand. Doesn't matter what it is. If you need dental miracles, I believe God wants to heal some people who grind their jaws at night. God wants to heal that. Excuse me. God wants to do some amazing things now. He loves you. He's so kind, isn't he? Remember, it's all about grace. Right, I want Christians to go around these people, put your hand on the shoulder, or simply just hold their hand. All right? I want everyone to have someone around them. Everyone. If you haven't got anyone around you, I want you to put up your hand so that I can just see. So everyone, there's a gentleman over here, there's a lady over there. Let's get some people over there. Okay, don't pray just yet. Don't pray. There's some guys at the back. Stay around them. Don't pray just yet. Just hold on. Guys at the back, once you've got someone, put your hand down. You've got a hand on your shoulder. Does everyone have someone to be prayed for? Right. We've got someone over there. Someone over there, quickly. A girl over there. We need someone to be prayed for over there. There's another lady over there. Everyone got someone? There's a gentleman over there, I think. Right, can I just have, just quiet, just very quickly. Shh. Right. On the count of three, I want you to ask them what's wrong with them, and then pray. And then when you're done praying, saying, now do something you couldn't do before. Now for many, they'll get healed instantly, and they can cash it out. For some, it might not be as easy as that. But we're going to trust God that immediately people are going to get healed and we're going to hear stories. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Right, on the count of three, go. One, two, three, go for it.
Yes.